Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. With these words, the book of Psalms begins. It is a fascinating book with nuggets of wisdom, and understanding the background and the structure of the book of Psalms makes it even more impacting. To learn more, join me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. From century to century, the Psalms have been prayed, sung, and spoken by many different kinds of people. Modern scholars tend to believe that the Psalms were developed first for formal worship and then were more broadly for individual use. However, it is more likely that the Psalms were originally individual or community responses to God based on what was happening in ordinary life. And then later, the Psalms were collected and appropriated for formal worship. The Psalms originated in the worship of the ancient Hebrew people, which was embedded throughout their lives. The writers of the Psalms dealt with diverse subjects such as war, worship, justice, sin, evil, and judgment. In relation to God, the writers praise, beseech, thank, and express fear, and express love for God. The Psalms give voice to the deepest feelings of the writers. The people were trying to figure out how to serve a perfect God in a very imperfect world. If there were times of national calamity, such as a drought or a threat of attack, out of this situation would grow a community psalm of lament. On the other hand, if the people experienced something like a military victory or a bountiful harvest, out of those situations sprang a community psalm of praise. And the same situation occurred for individuals. So the events that occurred in the lives of individuals or in the life of the nation, from those the psalms arose. And because the life of Israel was interconnected with worship, then worship was the source of the Psalms. Not everyone could visit the tabernacle or later the temple, but the whole land belonged to God. So the people worshiped wherever they were. Songs of victory arose spontaneously on the battlefield. Farmers prayed for their crops as they toiled. Shepherds prayed as they tended their flocks. Sick people prayed from their sick beds. Life in ancient times was permeated by worship. And some individual psalms and communal psalms were passed down generation after generation. Before we jump into the specific book of Psalms in the Bible, let me clarify that Psalms are not just found in the book of Psalms. They are scattered throughout the entire Bible. Because when God speaks and acts, Psalms are a response to Him. In Exodus 15, there is a song of praise for being rescued. In Judges 5, there is a song of victory in the conquest. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, a once barren woman celebrates God's blessing of a child. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, a king celebrates God's help. As these examples show, there is a deep connection between Psalms and historical events. Israel's earliest writing about its history grew out of its declaration of praise for God's acts of deliverance. But humanity's response to God does not consist solely of praise. There are times when people are scared, hurting, or even suffering, and then they cry out to God. They pour out their heart to God. Just as we see praise scattered throughout the Bible, we also see laments. If we could group the Psalms into two overarching themes, they would be praise and lament. Now, let me clarify something here. We usually sometimes equate lament with complaint, but there are differences. A complaint can be defined as an accusation against God's character. For example, when Israel was in the desert and complained about the lack of water or complained about the lack of meat, they assumed the worst about God, that he was going to let them die or kill them in the wilderness. Even after everything he had miraculously done to rescue them from Egypt, they didn't fully trust him. This is such a crucial point. They maligned his character. And that's a key difference between a complaint and a lament. In the Psalms, a lament is an appeal to God based on trust and confidence in his character. The people would ask God to respond to their needs because they knew that he's a God of justice and righteousness. They recognized that he had been faithful in the past, and they pleaded with God to answer them based on his unfailing love. So it's really important to distinguish between complaint, which maligns God's character, and lament, which appeals to God based on confidence in his character. A lament is a prayer while we are individually or as a community of God going through something, and that appeal to God is based on trust and hope in him. So in a sense, even a lament is a form of praise because it shows confidence and trust in God's character. And that's why the Hebrew term for the book of Psalms is Tehillim, which means praises. Even though there are more psalms that would be categorized as lament rather than praise, the Hebrew people recognized that when offered respectfully, even laments can be a form of praise. So they named their book Tehillim, praises, because some of the psalms are overt forms of praise, but even the laments acknowledge God's gracious and merciful character. And interestingly, if we look carefully at the lament psalms, most of them end with a vow to praise, a promise to return thanksgiving to God for his deliverance. So a lament is not the final prayer. A prayer might start with lament, but it typically moves toward praise by the end because of confidence in God. Now, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, so let me back up and share some more basic information about the book of Psalms and its structure. In Hebrew, a psalm is called a mizmor, which originally referred to a religious psalm accompanied by string instruments. In Greek, the Hebrew word mizmor is translated as psalmos. The plural form is psalmoi, which is where we get the name for the book of Psalms. It comes from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. If you open a Hebrew Bible, also known as the Tanakh, it is divided into three sections: the Torah, which is the law, the Nevi'im, which is the prophets, and the Ketuvim, which is known as the writings. The book of Psalms is the first book in the third section, in the writings. The book of Psalms is really a collection of poems, prayers, and hymns. In fact, the Psalms are really a blend of prayers, poetry, and song. We kind of tend to distinguish between these three types of expression in modern times, but they were more united in ancient times. It's important to remember that Israel was predominantly an oral society. So the Psalms were not first written and then sung. Rather, they were first sung and prayed before they were written down. There was a process of writing and collecting over a period of time. The Book of Psalms is really like an anthology in which 150 psalms have been collected on a wide variety of topics. For example, there are creation psalms, liturgical psalms, royal psalms, and wisdom psalms. So who wrote them? Well, definitely the majority were written by David, 73 to be exact, based on inscriptions. Some psalms are attributed to the descendants of Korah, who became leaders in choral and orchestral music in the tabernacle. And some psalms are attributed to Asaph, who was basically assigned by David as a worship leader in the tabernacle. One psalm, Psalm 90, is attributed to Moses, which would make it the oldest psalm. But there is an ancient Jewish tradition that attributes Psalm 92 and part of Psalm 139 to Adam. Two of the Psalms, 72 and 127, are attributed to Solomon. With the exception of Solomon and Moses, all of the other writers that are known were priests or Levites who were responsible for providing music for sanctuary worship during David's reign. But roughly one-third of the Psalms are anonymous. Based on the subject matter addressed in the individual Psalms, it's clear that they were written over a period of many centuries. As I mentioned, the earliest one is probably the prayer of Moses in Psalm 90. And the last one is probably Psalm 137, which is a song of lament that was written while the Israelites were in exile in Babylonia, sometime between 586 and 538 BC. So the Psalms were written by a number of people over a span of years, possibly up to a span of almost 1,000 years. Most scholars believe that the Psalms were then compiled sometime after the exile into the form that we have today. And the Psalms were not just randomly thrown together. Scholars have discovered that there is a beautiful structure, a unique design to the book. And once you know this structure, I think it's impossible to approach the Book of Psalms without thinking about it. The Book of Psalms is divided into five main books. Book 1 covers Psalms 3 through 41. Book 2 covers Psalms 42 to 72. Book 3 covers Psalms 73 to 89. Book 4 covers Psalms 90 through 106. And Book 5 covers Psalms 107 through 145. And some include Book 5 all the way to Psalm 150. But others group the last six psalms separately, which we'll talk about in a minute. One thing that is so unique is that the last psalm in each of these books ends with very similar wording, something kind of like, "May the Lord, the God of Israel, be blessed forever and ever. Amen and amen." So there is a very clear pattern that the very last verse or the next to the last verse in each one of these books ends with a similar type of statement saying, "May the Lord be blessed forever." I mentioned that book one starts with Psalm 3. So you may wonder, what about Psalms 1 and 2? Whereas book 3 mostly has psalms written by Moses, Psalms 1 and 2 are anonymous, and they act as an introduction to the entire collection of psalms. I already read Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 at the beginning of this episode, but I'll read it again briefly. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." It emphasizes that the person who meditates on the Torah, the law or teachings, will be blessed. So it's possible that the collection of the Psalms was intentionally grouped into five books to represent the five books of Moses or the Torah, because the prayers and songs will give wisdom and comfort to the people as they strive to live for God in alignment with the Torah. Then Psalm 2 is a poetic reflection on 2 Samuel chapter 7, in which God promised David that a messianic king would descend from him and establish God's kingdom in the world. Psalm 2 concludes by saying that those who trust in the messianic king will be blessed. And this is a parallel idea to what was expressed at the beginning of Psalm 1. So together, Psalms 1 and 2 provide an introduction to the collection of Psalms by emphasizing the idea of being blessed if the people meditate on and obey God's teachings while they wait in hope for the future messianic kingdom. These two ideas then help to frame the five books. So let's talk a little bit about a couple more patterns. First, how do the division of the Psalms into five books correlate to the five books of the Torah? Topically, book one generally relates to Genesis with themes of man and creation, or humankind. Book two relates to the Exodus with themes of deliverance and redemption. Book three relates to Leviticus with themes of sacrifice, worship, and sanctuary. Book four relates to Numbers with themes of wilderness and wandering and the reign of God. It also addresses man's sin and God's faithfulness. And book five relates to Deuteronomy with themes of the Word of God and praise. Another pattern within the collection of Psalms is that there is an inverse relationship between the Psalms of lament and the Psalms of praise. There are Psalms of praise and lament in each of the five books of the Psalter, but as we progress through the books, the number of lament Psalms decrease and the number of praise Psalms increase. For example, book one is heaviest in the number of lament Psalms, but the number of praise Psalms increases with each book until we reach book five, which has the highest proportion of praise Psalms compared to lament Psalms. So there is this incredible overarching progression in the collection of Psalms from lament to praise. Just like in life, we don't experience all lament or all praise, but both are interspersed with each other. And over time, praise wins out. And we see this even more distinctly in the conclusion of the whole Psalter. Now, we haven't yet talked about the last five chapters. Psalms 146 through 150 are sometimes considered part of Book 5, but they are also often regarded as the conclusion of the whole Psalter. They are the climax. And guess what they emphasize? Praise. In the Psalter, as in prayer, there is an overarching movement from lament toward praise. So it is very appropriate that the conclusion of the Psalter, the climax, is a group of five psalms that emphasize praise. In the original Hebrew, Psalms 146 through 150 all start and end with the word hallelujah. Remember that hallelujah is the command to hallelujah, or praise, Yah, which is short for Yahweh. So these five chapters begin and end with a command to praise God. They are the appropriate climax to the entire collection. And every verse of the final psalm, Psalm 150, commands people to praise God. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." There is beauty to the Psalms because they are timeless. The rhythm of the Psalter follows the rhythm of life. We move back and forth between joy and sorrow, struggle and victory, lament and praise. But there is an overarching movement in prayer and even in life from lament to praise. And the end of our stories, just like in Psalm 150, will be pure praise. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of All Things Apostolic. And until next time, take care and God bless.